Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
This podcast is produced in part by Podfly.net. Podfly, passion for great sounding podcasts.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
This week on Columbia Calling, me, your host Richard McCall in Bogota, we'll be talking to Sergio Lerano, Colombian, a Swiss, also a Brit, who is the co-author of Columbia, A Comedy of Errors, a new book out, written in collaboration with Vicky Calloway, two-time interviewee here on Columbia Calling. So we'll be interviewing Sergio about his experiences and the reasons for the success of Columbia, A Comedy of Errors. Stay tuned and listen to Columbia Calling with me, your host, Richard McCall, later on. Thank you.
The world is a beautiful place, so listen up. The Overseas Radio Network.
What does your dream job look like? Is it spending an hour or more every morning, every night, stuck in traffic? Is it staying up late to finish that report for the boss? No, didn't think so. So where are the opportunities for the entrepreneurs with a sense of adventure? Where are the businesses for sale that allow you to be your own boss on your own terms, wherever in the world you choose? OverseasVentures.com. Overseas Ventures is the first business listing directory of its kind. Our focus is to provide a personalized experience for those looking to invest in overseas opportunities and start living their dream of the Overseas Ventures lifestyle. With everything from tiki bars on the beach in Belize to boutique hotels in the warm, sunny Caribbean to online opportunities for those who want to live out of their suitcase and just travel the world. Overseas Ventures is the first website dedicated solely for the global entrepreneur in mind. Check us out now at OverseasVentures.com to dream, own, and live a new life abroad.
Ready to learn about a new life overseas? You're at the right place. This is the Overseas Radio Network.
This is Columbia Calling. I'm your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, Colombia. We have a great show for you today. We'll be talking to Sergio Lerano, who is the co-author of the new book about Colombia. This is Columbia, A Comedy of Errors, and we'll be talking to Sergio to find out a little bit about the inspiration for this book. He's Colombian, Swiss, British, so he's got a proper background of literary finesse. He co-wrote the book with Vicky Calloway, who's a two-time interviewee on Columbia Calling and also a known, well-known blogger. For those of you who are listening, it's bananaskinflipflops.com if you want to check out Vicky's blog. So we'll be talking to Sergio from the second segment of the show, and we're listening about his inspiration, because he's the artist in the book. So as much as Roald Dahl had his, was it Quentin someone or other who did his artwork, so Vicky will have her Sergio. And anyway, so it's a fantastic interview coming up with us today. So get in touch. You know, we're always waiting to hear from listeners out there. You can get in touch through our website, www.columbiacallingradio.com, our email address, columbiacalling@gmail.com, and of course via Twitter, @columbiacalling. Interesting times, as always. I know I always say this on this show, but interesting times, as always, we'll be discussing later on in future shows. We'll be discussing the elections coming up because it's almost upon us. May 25th, Colombian elections coming up, and well, for the first time since the campaigns have started, President Santos, the incumbent, is not leading the polls. We are being led, the polls are being led, if you believe polls coming out in the mainstream press, by Oscar Iván Zuluaga, so the candidate for the Uribista party, the Central Democratico, or the Democratic Center Party, is leading the polls. Even though scandals have beset his party, they've been accused of wiretapping the peace dialogues taking place in Havana, Cuba, between the FARC and the Colombian negotiating team. This seems to have only helped his campaign. So the Uribista, let's say, juggernaut continues on. I mean, I don't know what else to say about it. The others, Enrique Peñalosa, Marta Lucía Ramírez, Claudio López, they're all, you know, just also rams. They're all going to be a footnote in this election coming up on May 25th, if the polls are to be believed. Massive, massive news, though, that President Santos, who pretty much needed to do nothing to win these elections, he's managed to seize defeat from the jaws of victory. So he'll go down in history, if he loses this, as the president who has stood for nothing, because he pegged his whole hopes on the peace dialogues with the FARC in Havana. And, well, they may be resulting in something. We don't know exactly what's going on there, because everything's so closed, and rightly so, because the last dialogues in the Pastrana government were really, really open. And this is a difference. He's trying to create a difference. Last Friday, we had the FARC agreeing to some sort of terms about the, you know, one of the conditions and one of the, points on the agenda. There's a several-point agenda that the government and the FARC have through their dialogues in Cuba, and this one was one of the most complex ones because it's the issue of illegal drugs. And it'd be interesting to see how this pans out, because the FARC have said that due to a relative abandon of the countryside by the feudal elite in Colombia, there has been a necessity to produce coca, to then create the base and the pace for cocaine. It's a major income for the FARC, for the Fuerzas Armadas Revolucionarias de Colombia. So it's a major income. And supposedly they've come to some sort of an agreement there in Havana, Cuba, with the government negotiating team and the FARC about this issue. So very interesting indeed. And of course now they've called a unilateral ceasefire. So the FARC and the ELN, the other guerrilla group, Ejército de Liberación Nacional, have called a joint ceasefire for the period of the elections from about now until the 28th. So very interesting times, and clearly a nice political move on this chessboard of intrigue that we have in Colombian politics. So we'll be watching this very, very closely in the coming weeks. The coming shows, we'll be discussing this, I think. If you've got any thoughts about the Colombian elections coming up this Sunday, 25th of May, please get in touch. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to be able to publish some thoughts by others, not just me harping on here in Colombia. I wanted to mention as well, we'll be coming right back with Sergio Liovano, the artist who illustrated the book, Colombia, Comedy of Errors. You can get this book in most Panamericana stores around Bogota. It will be available internationally at some point. But also, if you like independent bookstores, please go and check out Authors Bookstore in the Zona G in Rosales, as they also stock the book as well. And it's a very nice place to go and spend some time, have a coffee, and browse the fine books on display, of which one is Colombia, A Comedy of Errors. So I'm Richard McCall, this is Colombia Calling, and we'll be right back with Sergio Liovano after this short break. Thank you.
OverseasRadio.com, broadcasting from Panama to Paris and beyond.
Attention investors, Nagel & Associates and the Overseas Radio Network are sponsoring a one-of-a-kind asset protection and global investment conference this August aboard the celebrity cruise ship, The Constellation. This 12-night cruise will feature the best of Northern European capitals, including Amsterdam, Stockholm, Berlin, Tallinn, Helsinki, Copenhagen, and the highlight of the cruise, St. Petersburg. You will experience the breathtaking scenery of Northern Europe while discovering cutting-edge developments in asset protection and global investment strategies. In this small group setting, you'll learn from renowned international experts and then get to spend quality time as fellow passengers really get to know them and letting them know you and how their expertise might be of great benefit to you and your future. Not only that, but our conference is headlined by Jack Wheeler, who the Washington Post refers to as the real-life Indiana Jones. Come and get to know Jack and his wife, Rebel, and enjoy some adventure stories on the high seas. Registration fees are $13.99 for a single and only $19.99 per couple. Sign up before May 30th and you'll receive a $300 discount on your registration fees. Register now by calling 1-914-269-8848 or send an email to rachel@hemisphereslpublishing.com. We hope to see you aboard.
You've got questions about Columbia, and Escape Artist has answers. Is Columbia a good fit for me and my plans? How do I buy a house, find a job, find a doctor, start a business, invest in real estate? What should I know to better appreciate its history, its culture, its opportunities? What is it really like to be an expat in Columbia? You'll find your answers at columbia.escapeartist.com, your complete and trusted guide for living, working, playing, investing, and retiring in Columbia. That's columbia.escapeartist.com.
You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network, the exclusive online radio station for the expatriate community.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall here in Bogota, and this week we have a very special guest. In fact, we've managed to get some time out of his very busy agenda. His name is Sergio Liévano. He's a Colombian. He's not only Colombian, he's Swiss, he's British, he's an author, he's an illustrator. I've just found out he's an economist, but he's also the co-author of the new book that's come out about Colombia called Colombia, A Comedy of Errors. Now, he co-wrote this book with Victoria Kellaway, who's been on the show a couple of times, so those of you who have listened to this podcast will know. But anyway, they've released this book to great fanfare here in Colombia. And we're very happy because Sergio and Vicky have been on every national news chain, every radio station, and every newspaper. And now they've got a little bit of time for us here at Columbia Calling. So welcome to the show, Sergio.
Thank you very much, Richard. Thank you for inviting me to your show.
Now, you're very welcome, and I'm very pleased to have you here on the show because it's very interesting to have someone with a more Colombian background. I mean, ordinarily we're getting a lot of expats and people because part of the thing is obviously the level of English that I can get for the podcast, for the radio show, and so on and so forth. But you've written this book, and I want to start really with actually a bit of your personal background. As I said, you're British, you're Swiss, and you're Colombian, and when I read Columbia, A Comedy of Errors, you can see that very much in your illustrations and in Vicky's text as well, and I know that you went through it all very, very, you know, very deeply together, very carefully. There is the whole item of the struggle for an identity.
Absolutely. I mean, the beautiful thing about Colombia is that it was built as like many other countries from foreigners, people coming from all these different places. Unfortunately, Colombia was not very popular a couple of decades ago or centuries ago. Mm-hmm. After we expelled the expatriates from Colombia. Actually, not many people came to visit us. All the nice people, if you can say like that, went to Argentina, went to Chile, went to a lot of nice places, but very few came to Colombia. So, but we were built from that identity, from a struggle to find our identity. When these people from Spain left, they left us without really identity. Of course, right now we are finding ourselves in a different world. It's a different Colombia where, I mean, my mother was English. She came here when she was 19 And at that time, when she arrived here, she was the odd person, really, really odd person. Didn't help that she was red hair. So that really didn't help. But so she really struggled a lot, really. So that lack of identity is something that is embedded in all of us,
yes,
in one way or the other.
I think you're very right in that. Now, let me just quickly ask, your red-haired English mother from London, what was she doing in Colombia?
And she was Jewish.
Oh, okay.
So, so, of course, he married a Catholic, and there was a big, big thing. All these things, of course, because the whole story comes from the Second World War, up to the Second World War and all these things, but ended up here in Colombia. My mother got pregnant in Colombia and in England. So she came with my father. My father just finished his BA in economics in England. So they came here, they married against my grandmother's wishes, because of course she was Jewish, and she noticed that my mother was pregnant also, but that's a terrible different story from this one. But so she arrived here alone, 19 years old, didn't know anyone, no one knew English. That was a beautiful situation where English was as exotic as someone speaking Mandarin today, mm-hmm. or something like that. Maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it was really odd. And so, of course, they arrived with no money, anything like that. Nowadays, the beautiful thing about Colombia nowadays is that you can walk in the streets, you can see foreigners everywhere. Foreigners come in all different types and shapes, and they're all willing to mingle with the Colombians and try to do the beautiful mixture. I think that when we started with Victoria, this book, we were conscious that Colombia needed urgently something that kind of touch the issue about identity, which is what you were asking me. And being from a mixture as Colombian and English and Swiss and all these things, my wife is Swiss, my kids are Swiss, but also Colombian, but also English. So nowadays we're finding this beautiful thing that identity is a question mark. It's actually a beautiful question mark.
It's a really tough one, because in a lot of my writing and most of my writing on my blogs and whatever, it usually comes down to this question of identity. And I think it's something that those of us here in Colombia, even as foreigners in Colombia, even as Colombians in Colombia, are grappling with. Because as you said right from the beginning, you know, the Spanish were kicked out, but they, you know, left, let's say, a bloodline and a language and a feudal situation. I mean, really, very much a very established upper class, you know, the white European upper class. And then beyond that, you know, you really didn't exist. And that's what I think today Colombia is grappling with. I think today Colombia is trying to come to terms with, you know, okay, if you're of indigenous descent or if you're from Afro descent, you have just as much right to be represented, to run for president, let's say, everything. And it's an incredibly interesting situation. And I'm fascinated, but I think this is a conversation for another time about your mother's history, because I'm going to digress. This is my radio show. I'm going to digress. And I have a friend in the United States whose grandparents fled Germany. They weren't Jewish, but they fled Germany for having helped the Jews during World War II. And they fled in coffins via Spain, and they made it. They made it to Colombia, where his mother was then born. And then they moved up to Los Angeles. Well, first New York, and then Los Angeles, and he was born in Seattle. So, but he's Colombian, you know, of course, because his mother was born here, and she was born speaking German at home and Spanish in the streets, and, you know, and had no idea of her real identity. It was very difficult for her, and especially even more so when she moved then in a sort of Colombo German diaspora to the United States, where she then had to speak English. So I can only imagine what your mother had to go
through. Absolutely. But the beautiful thing, Richard, is that, for example, for Colombians, I mean, the definition of Colombian is very, very broad. I mean, we cannot really say this is a Colombian. No, Colombia is a lot of things, a lot of things. And this is what we talk also in the book. But also for Colombians here, when you're at school, the first years at school, they teach you about your Colombian flag and the national anthem and the coat of arms. And they say it's very political, our schools in, mm-hmm. in Colombia, because they keep on teaching you, well, the Colombian flag is yellow, is the half of the flag, and that means all the richness that we have, all the beautiful money and petrol and emeralds and all these things. And the blue, the oceans, and the red is the blood that we have. To start, poor kids, I mean, when we're little, I mean, they tell you that your flag, it represents the blood of people. You're like, okay, this is a goth, like gothic,
yeah,
or I
don't
know,
it's dark. It's dark.
Yeah, very like that. I said, okay, fair enough. But then they actually never explain you, or no one really did this research to explain you, hey, did you know that the one that came out with the Colombian concept, the one that holds the copyrights of Colombia, is actually a Venezuelan guy? I say, what? Really? Yeah. I mean, all this, what I'm telling you, is a little bit what we, you know, it's a lot of what we talk about in the book. But it's just to highlight the fact that our identity, we were kind of like, and when I say we Colombians, we were kind of like robbed with the concert. I mean, actually, we let the political parties, or I'm not red or black or white or purple. I really don't care. I really am not into that. Mm-hmm. But just to say that they really tried the people to think, okay, so we have the best flag, and do you know what? And we have the best anthem, and we have the best this, and we have the best that. They said, well, oh, that's very nice when you have a very young country, when the all these Spanish people run away, because actually that's our history. Our history, the one that we learn, is a lot about we fight so much, and there was fighting. Yes, I'm not saying there were no fighting, but do you know that the Spanish people one day decided to run away and they left, and we had this situation in Colombia, and that has never really happened to other countries like in Colombia, that the conquerors left, and we were like, oh, okay, so what shall we do now? Mm. You know what, let's make a flag. Well, that's a good idea, let's make a flag and the national anthem and all these things. So our identity, it's built from errors, these type of errors, these type of beautiful things. Errors are not bad. Errors are the best thing ever, you know, is the beautiful, beautiful things. And I think that that's very important for people to understand.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And this is going to dovetail very nicely into our next segment. We're going to take a short break now, but we're talking to Sergio Liovano, who is a Colombian, Swiss, British illustrator, author of the book Colombia, Comedy of Errors. I'm Richard McCall. This is Colombia Calling, and we'll be right back.
Pack your bags and explore the world with us. You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network.
Tired of paying for traditional advertising? Sick of pouring money into SEO and questionable marketing firms? Looking to reach a new audience? We know you want to grow your business and directly engage your customers and clientele. Podcasting is the way to go, and Podfly has your solution. Whether you're a blogger, writer, business owner, entrepreneur, or service provider, Podfly makes it easy for anyone to have a professionally produced and distributed podcast. No radio experience or technical ability? No problem. In 3 easy steps, you'll be on your way to having a professional-sounding podcast and an exciting new platform to promote your business. Podfly's top-class support team guides you through the process to make podcasting easy, fun, and most important, have you sound your best. Get started today at podfly.net, and let's get your message truly heard. Podfly.net, passion for great-sounding podcasts.
Are you looking to invest, live, or retire overseas? Before you pack your bags, you need to log on to NagelLaw.com. It's the only stop you need to make for global business, asset protection, estate planning, overseas residency, and citizenship needs. Our experts have experience working in 41 countries around the world. Starting a business abroad can be overwhelming without expert help. We assist clients with foreign trust, foundations, corporations, LLCs, IBCs, and property acquisition. Need help with IRA assets abroad, capital formation, foreign securities issues, banking, brokerage, or finance needs? NagelLaw.com. We ensure compliance with U.S. tax and regulatory laws. We engineer global structures to help our clients achieve their personal business objectives. Get started today. To find out about our introductory personal asset protection plan, visit us online, NagelLaw.com. We represent capital overseas.
Okay, you're not stupid. You see the handwriting on the wall. You're thinking about joining the millions of Americans who have already left the country. But where do you go? You don't want to make the mistake of jumping from the frying pan into the fire. You need accurate info to make one of the most important decisions of your life. You need EscapeTheUSAnow.com. You don't want to have regrets because your expat country collapsed due to crime, conflict, disease, famine, natural disaster, scarcity, war, or a government gone bad. Only at EscapeTheUSAnow.com will you discover the handful of countries that offer true freedoms and unbelievable opportunities that most people could only dream of. EscapeTheUSAnow.com is the information you cannot afford not to have. Information that took over 30 years to research, costing hundreds of thousands of dollars, with more than a quarter of a million miles traveled. For less than $2.50 per month, you can have what may be the most life-saving information you have ever obtained. EscapeTheUSAnow.com, so you don't jump from the frying pan into the fire.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, the station to help you reach your dream destination.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. Here we are in Bogota talking to Sergio Liovano. I know I'm pronouncing the name wrong, but he's the co-author of Columbia, A Comedy of Errors. And we were just talking, we were just finishing the last segment talking about how, well, Sergio was, about how errors are the most wonderful things because, of course, they promote and they stimulate creativity. And I think out of that comes your book. So this is our opportunity to talk further about your book. And How is it that Sergio, that an economist, you are an economist,
yes,
you studied at the number one. I've seen the ratings this last week in the newspapers about the best university in which to study economics in Colombia. So you studied there.
Yeah. Yes.
How is it that you became an illustrator?
To be fair, I did study economics, and just because when I was at school, I really didn't know what to do. I did know what I wanted to do. I wanted to do theater, but my father, as many, many other fathers, at least in Colombia, they will say, well, theater is very nice. I mean, you can go on Saturdays if you want, and I can come with you if you want. But if you want to survive in this world, theater is not the way. And so I was a little bit frustrated. So I said, okay, so theater is not the one, so what else? So my father said, you know what? You're a good economist. And like, what's that? Say, no, the economy, I mean, you're a good economist because you remember those tickets that you were selling today, 2 years ago for a raffle? Say, yeah, okay, yeah, perfect. And you sold them all. Say, well, actually, I sold like five or six. Perfect, that's great. That's an economist. Say, okay, that's good. So, I mean, that's the short story. But so I ended up doing economics. And from that, I finished my career and all these things. When I graduated, I realized that to be an economist is the best profession in the world, just because you don't know what to do and you can do everything. it's beautiful because you can go to any party or any interview, and they will say, well, what's your profession? You can say, I'm an economist. And they will look at you like, okay, so you did study something serious. Mm-hmm. But if you think about economics is a very inexact, and it's not even a science, it's a guess. It's a guess science, and I know many people could disagree with me in these things, but because the science is about people, and people are unpredictable at the end of the day. I mean, it's not like mathematics or something, even if they want to put mathematics. Anyway, so I finished that. I was very bored. I was working in a multinational in England. I was living in Canterbury, very happy. Mm-hmm. And one day I said to my wife, this is too much for me, too much. So I wanted to, I started to do cartoons. And I started to publish my cartoons to the people I was working with. I was the board of directors of a big, big multinational. And I just started to send my cartoons to them. I knew that they were going to sack me, but they didn't. And actually, they were very, very happy, and they raised my salary, and they were very, very happy with me. So that's when I understood that maybe comedy and humor and cartoons was my way of doing things for this world. And that's what I continue doing.
It's amazing. And I have a little anecdote on the side of that. When I mentioned to my wife just now that you were an economist from Los Andes, which is where she studied too, she went, "Oh, all economists don't go on to practice economics." And then she named the Rausch brothers, you know, the famous chefs in Bogota, who of course studied economics there too. So anyway, but very, very interesting. You moved into this. They raised your salary. You were allowed to draw. You were in Canterbury. Very nice part of the world, Canterbury, and then I guess you come back to Colombia. I mean, you're married, but anyway, you've decided to write this book. How is it that it came about? I mean, you and Vicky Kellaway. I mean, how did you meet, first of all?
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is that from England we moved to Switzerland, and in Switzerland I started to write my own books, and I was very successful there. I mean, I have 5 books published there, and all of them are best-selling books, so extremely well. And then with my wife, we decided to come to Colombia and to continue having this fun producing books. And the aim was always to make books that you cannot find in bookshops. Mm-hmm. And I know that people will say no, but everyone says that. No, everyone doesn't try that. And that's why you can find a lot of books about one subject, and it's kind of boring. But anyway, so one day I heard an interview that Victoria gave in La W, radio program. And I was fascinated about how someone could come up with 101 best things about Bogota. I mean, Bogota is poor Bogota. Everyone hates Bogota. I mean, everyone loves Cartagena. Everyone loves this and everything. But Bogota, I mean, Bogotanos, we are the first ones to hate Bogota. I mean, maybe people who come in from other places like yourself they love Bogota. But so Vicky wrote this beautiful thing about Bogota, and I thought, this is the person I would love to do this book with. So I contacted her. I thought that she was living in England, very busy and all these things. I mean, she is busy, but she was living in Bogota. So I thought it was absolutely cool. We met in this in Juan Valdez, in this coffee place, and we started to talk about the idea of making this state-of-the-art book about Colombians, not in the fashion of Colombia is passion or drink cooks in cooking Colombia is fun or the colors are fantastic. Now that's boring. Yes. I mean, that you can find a lot of literature about that. No, we wanted to do a book that it was challenging for people, that confronts people, that really makes people think, and that at the same time have them be laughing about it. The whole thing is about humor. We put it in the book, something that Oscar Wilde said once. He said, well, if you want to tell the truth to people, make them laugh or else they will kill you. And it is true. And in Colombia, it's very, very true. So basically, humor is very good. It's a very good method. And with Victoria, we enjoy that.
I think it's fascinating, and I remember that blog post she did. It's 101 things to love about Bogota, and I think she really did, as they say, sort of, what's the word in Spanish? Fajar.
Absolutely. Because one came up with a list of. Because what she mentioned was the negative things that people think, and she just put it in a very positive way. I thought this is brilliant. No, it's really brilliant.
But I think that's a lot of the reality of being such a closed society for so long. I sometimes give talks at universities, and I have to say, well, you have to look at these things and this situation with new eyes. You know, you have to look differently.
Absolutely.
I mean, I was talking at the Universidad Autónoma some weeks ago, and I said, listen, in front of my hotel in Mompox, I've had this huge pit that's been dug, and everyone's complaining about the putting in the drains and putting in the stuff. I said, well, no. When tourists arrive and I see their face, I said, no, this is an archaeological excavation, because they found eight skeletons under there, pre-Hispanic skeletons. And then I make friends with the archaeologist, and I invite the tourists in to see it. And they love it. And they say, yes, we stayed in a hotel alongside an archaeological dig. So I'm always telling people, you need to look at these things with different eyes. And I think Vicky does that very well. I mean, I have to say, I go through love and hate all the time with Bogota. I mean, that's just my thing. But then, it's a big city. That's the thing. But the humor is important. And I wanted to ask you, when you said the humor and you quoted Oscar Wilde, which of course the best man to quote in almost any situation, but are Colombians good at laughing at themselves? I mean, is this something you as a Colombian would be able to explain to me? Because I don't know.
Yes, if the jokes are not on you.
Uh-huh.
Yes, that's the short answer, basically. And that's what happened to Jaime Garzón, which was a great journalist guy, that very funny. I think that Colombia had this fantastic comedian, which was Jaime Garzón. And when he started to laugh about very critical people, then he was shot. I mean, so basically, Colombians will laugh about anything. But not if jokes are on you. Yeah. You know, they have very, very short, la mecha is very short. The fuse is very short when it comes to you. And it's understandable. I mean, it's not that I'm not criticizing or anything like that. But humor is a challenge. Colombians actually we are not very good with comedy. We are not very good because our jokes are what I said, very short fuse for things. We like the chiste, the little gag comment and things like that. We're not very good stand-up comedy people, to follow the line of a joke, or like the British. For me, the British humor is amazing, and the Colombian comedy, of course, has a part of this British sarcasm, this British beautiful humor, which is with a straight face, but very, very funny.
Yes. Yes, no, very interesting. And the tragic story of Jaime Garzón. Now, I'm going to explain to some people out there who may not know, he was basically a caricaturist, but on television and writing, and really, really sharp. I mean, very insightful humor, but highlighting, let's say, injustices in Colombia, and highlighting the corruption, and highlighting the everything that was going on right now in the political, let's say, background in Colombia, for the elections. Jaime Garzón, right now in heaven, wherever he is having a field day, because it's almost comedy in itself. I mean, you can't believe it. So very, very sad, the story, and very, very important to know about Jaime Garzón.
But Jaime basically answers your question about the humor in Colombia. Mm-hmm. Very funny, you can do very funny and everything like that, but be careful. Yeah. Something like that.
Now, very interesting. We're going to take another short break right now, but we'll be coming right back with Sergio to talk more about the book and Colombia Comedy of Errors, and find out really about the text and the intricacies of what he's done. And so we'll be right back. I'm Richard McColl. This is Colombia Calling. Please don't go away.
Your expatriation destination. This is OverseasRadio.com.
Worried about rising taxes, costly insurance, out-of-control health care, economic decline, staggering debt, mortgages, and retirement? It doesn't have to be this way. Escape to Ecuador, one of the most beautiful countries on the planet, and at EcuadorAtYourService.com, be your guide. Ecuador has been named the number one retirement destination in the world 3 times in a row. So if you're searching for beaches, jungles, farmland, cities, affordable health care, and a richer lifestyle at half the cost, contact EcuadorAtYourService.com.
Searching for freedom? The sustainable community in Chile is found at freedomorchard.com. Quiet, peaceful, and pristine are some of Freedom Orchard's outstanding features. Freedom Orchard offers recreational activities, organic farming, and self-sufficiency for water and electricity. Well-known Chile expert, free market economist, and radio host of Red Hot Chile, Dr. John Coben, is heading a team of developers, organic farmers, and seasoned professionals to make Freedom Orchard a reality. FreedomOrchard.com, for when you're serious about your freedom.
Sit back and relax. You are tuned into the Overseas Radio Network.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. We're talking to Sergio Liovano, who's an illustrator, an economist, an author, a publisher. He's Swiss, he's British, he's Colombian. I mean, we're having a great conversation at the moment, and we want to talk now. We've got the whole background about Sergio. We've got the whole background about illustrating. We really want to hear about the book, Columbia, A Comedy of Errors. Now, I wrote a little, let's say, a review of the book some weeks ago when it first came out, and you were at the book fair, and I know it went very well. I've seen the photos. Yeah. You've been on every news show. But I want to ask you, because you haven't, let's say, avoided any of the tricky situations in Colombia. I mean, you've talked about the violence, you've talked about corruption, you've sold Colombia incredibly well in the book. I mean, it's still Colombia still comes across as a fantastic place, but you haven't made this, let's say, a glossy holiday brochure. And I think that's what I wanted to say in my review as well. You don't shirk from the controversy of the realities. And how have your readers reacted to that? I mean, that's what I want to know.
Well, positive. I mean, I think that the reaction has been really, really positive. And I was expecting some reaction from the Colombians. But they were the first ones to tell us that they were extremely happy. I mean, one of our collaborators, someone that really helped us, is a magistrate of the Supreme Court. And he reviewed the book, and one of his comments were like, gosh, you could have mentioned much more about this justice thing, and you could have mentioned more about this. And so that was always the reaction of people, that we could have done more. I say, well, don't worry, because there's a sequel coming. And it's not a problem with that. But the feeling of people is very, very positive. I mean, we have people like Carlos Vives. He really helped in the music area. And we have the general Guatibonza and his wife also review it. And it's not that we took their ideas. No, we just confronted what we wrote, what we believe, and we received their feedback, their opinions. And the book doesn't really reflect their opinions all the time. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But it was good to touch that base, you know, to see how people will react to that. An anecdote is that I show it to Margarita, to the wife of the general. Yes. And she read the book first, only the text. And the first reaction was like, ooh, this is serious stuff, no? This is a little bit like that. Then she read the same thing but the whole thing, the editing and the drawings and the text all together, you know, like a soup. Of course, if you're going to try the salt, it's a little bit like, oof, it's salty. But if you're going to try an ajiaco, no, well, you have the salt, the drawings, this and that, then the flavors is different. So, of course, it was a beautiful reaction to see her. She was saying, oh, gosh, now I get it. It's so funny. It's really, really funny. And this book, really, believe me, doesn't exist in Colombia. This type of thing doesn't exist in Colombia. And no, we need more of these books.
Oh, definitely so. But that's really interesting that, I mean, you know, you saying that. I think, actually, because I never had the opportunity to read it just as text, it would read as a very strong statement. But of course, then you've lightened it. I mean, it does make the humor with the illustrations in there, and of course that makes it appeal to all ages, I think, too. I mean, I saw in your photos you had children lining up for it too, not just children and adults.
Yeah. I mean, children are fantastic. I mean, one of the things I put. I mean, my father died in an airplane in a bomb. In 1989, it was a terrible moment for Colombia, and he died there in Avianca bomb. incident. And I put that drawing just to explain something about papaya in the book. And my kids were looking at me drawing. My kids think that I'm a genius. So I'm okay with that feedback. I mean, that's great that they really believe that in me. And they saw this drawing, and they were shocked. And they said, why did you draw grandfather there? I said, well, actually, we need to explain the papaya. And I sat down with them to explain them about papaya, and they were laughing about it. So it was a serious statement. I mean, you cannot have something more serious than that in my sight. But you have to deal with humor, because part of our culture is part of our beautiful things. So if my kids react so positive about it and they feel proud about it, like, oh yeah, look this and that and the airplane and whatever. So there's something beautiful that Shakespeare knew it so good. I mean, that comedy and drama together is a beautiful combination. It's a beautiful, powerful combination. That's why we try with Victoria with the book.
Can you do me a big favor, and for the listeners out there, and just explain in the most succinct terms what is dar papaya, then, for listeners overseas who perhaps don't know this?
Yeah, well, dar papaya is a scene for Colombians. That means that we give, once you're in Colombia, is giving the opportunity to someone else to do something wrong to you. That's that's giving papaya. That's the cost of opportunity, as the economists will have said. So basically, when you arrive to Colombia, you cannot, it's a sin to give any chance to anyone. We're not saying bad people or good people, I'm talking about anyone. You don't give the opportunity for someone else to take advantage of you. For example, if you drop a coin or you drop something to the floor, the likelihood, that's giving papaya. You didn't take care of the things of your belongings. So you committed that sin in that way. And that opens the opportunity for someone else to pick it up and take it. And I'm not saying that person that took it is a bad person or is a good person, you know, because I'm afraid it's not like that. It's just that anyone will take that opportunity and call you and say, hey, sorry, you lost your wallet, or here is your jumper, or something like that. And I know it sounds a little bit strong. That's the book, you know? I mean, it sounds strong, but those are things that the same Colombians will tell you all the time. When you're robbed, I mean, poor Victoria was robbed a couple of weeks ago, or like a month or something ago, and of course she was telling me, yes, but I was walking alone through this road, walking home. And I said, why you gave papaya? I mean, why you had to walk all this way there? And her reaction was, is it true? It's not her fault to walk in the streets, you know? I mean, that's all about freedom. But giving papaya means that, no? She gave the opportunities to someone else to do that. And actually, the first draft of the book went away in that incident, so... That's another.
I think you've got it there. I think that's a very good way of explaining to our listeners what is dar papaya, so they can understand now for when they come to Colombia. Now, quickly tell me, how have you divided the book up into different chapters? Can you just list them for me?
Yeah, sure. So we started. We basically did what they call in philosophy the deconstruct. They call it concept of Colombians, and we're deconstructing it. Then we started to build it from the basic things. So the first part is all about the DNA. What's our DNA? And we started to then talk about the identity, talking about the flag, the history of Colombia, all what represents to be Colombian. Then we went to talk about the Colombians, you know, what's the population, the regions, who are the key Colombians, people that really has represented us, like Gabriel García Márquez, Shakira, people like even Pablo Escobar. I mean, he's a bad guy, if you can put it like that. But everyone talks about Pablo Escobar everywhere in the world. So, yeah. I mean, we have to mention it. So that is a section we call the good, the bad, and the ugly. And then we talk about, in the section of Colombia, we talk about the family, which is fascinating because the yes. whole thing about Colombia moves around the family, but you have to really to understand it. And then we went to the culture to understand what are the attitudes of the Colombians, the social classes, the language. Then a part that I love, I mean, everything I love, but the economic part, the part of economics. And I was very happy because when we finished the part of economics, I sent it to a good friend. He's a teacher at Harvard University. He worked for several years in the International Money Fund and in the World Bank.
Yeah.
And I sent him this text, and his comment when he came back to me, and his comment was like, he said, "Please, is it possible to add an adjective?" I mean, we sent the whole text and everything like that. I was waiting a lot of no, you should not say this. This is wrong. Whatever, all these things. He only said, "Can you please put an adjective not to sound so radical?" fair enough. So that's the economic. And we ended up with, as you mentioned at the beginning of the interview, with justice. You know, mm-hmm. it's not an easy subject. And gosh, God knows that with Victoria, we had a lot of discussions because she had an ending and then I had another ending. And we had to think how we can do this thing to make it sound not so... the typical news and all these things, but something interesting, you know, something comedy of errors, and this is the part of justice. Mm. And so basically we did these things. That was the structure of the book, and with that, with a lot of drawings and everything, it ended up to be this comedy of errors.
It's fantastic, and so you had a great success at the book fair, I imagine, as well.
Oh yeah,
you sold a lot of books.
Yeah, I mean we started with Panamericana, and selling this book through Panamericana initially. And Panamericana, funny enough, they said, "Well, the book is in English." So, I don't know, let's see, let's go a little bit like that. And they were shocked, really, literally, they were really shocked to see how the avalanche of people coming and asking for the book and being very curious. Because people still in Colombia, we don't understand that we have changed. Now we speak different languages, and this is what we were talking about, identity. Mm-hmm. The identity of Colombians have swift to a better place where we handle more languages, yep. where we have to be more open to things, and this is the beautiful thing. So yes, absolutely, in the book fair, we saw that phenomenon, and it was beautiful, and we're really grateful with Victoria. We're really, really grateful.
Fantastic. Now, if for the listeners out there, where can they get hold of this book? In Colombia first and then internationally?
Yeah. Well, in Colombia, you can have it get it in all the Panamericanas. Yeah. This is Colombia, everywhere in Colombia, and also in La Librería Nacional. We are also, little by little, this is going to all the other libraries.
Yeah.
Internationally, we're still working on it with Victoria. We're talking with several distributors to start to put it in the U.S. and in Europe. In Europe, it's going to be faster. We're expecting in about 1 month or maybe less to be already available through Amazon in Europe. Mm-hmm. And in the U.S., we're still talking. So ask people to please be patient. We really, really want to send this book to everyone. And mm-hmm. it's not really about the money. I mean, of course, we want to sell it and everything like that and pay the mortgage. But the whole thing is that we're so passionate with Victoria about this book. We love this book. This book is really built not with humor, but with 100% love. So of course we want to send this book to everyone, and that everyone grabs the book, touch the book, reads the book, and have fun with the book. And of course, please send us feedbacks and comments.
Well, thank you so much, Sergio, for your time and for being so open and basically emotive about the book. And I think if I was to say anything to anyone out there, is watch this space, because this book is going to become a series. You can see it already. And so we just watched the Facebook page at the moment, right? Columbia Comedy of Errors. And that's where that people can get all of the updates and how everything is being publicized. So
exactly.
I'll take this moment just to say thank you very much for your time. And from all of us who've read the book, who are happy with the book, thank you for putting it out there. And explaining not only to Colombians but to the world with humor what Colombia is and what Colombia is about. So
thank you very much for the opportunity, Richard. Really, really thank you.
You're most welcome. And so we're going to close off now. So again, thank you, Sergio. I'm Richard McColl. This has been Colombia Calling, and I hope you've enjoyed the show. Go and buy Colombia, a comedy of errors.
Live call-in shows and hosts from your favorite countries. This is the Overseas Radio Network.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller. Find your next obsession. Or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.